We are on Chav Chesem and Aleph. We are at the Gemara. Beishamai Aymrim. It's two dots halfway down Chav Chesem and Aleph. 28A, but I don't know what number it is. Probably two, maybe not, maybe one. What? Beishamai Aymrim. Now, in Beishamai, there was a few statements they made. Number one, they said, you can't do Shua. Number two, they said, I'm reading the Gemara Bakoel, Chulu. Beishamai Aymrim, only the thing that he asked for, Mameshu Madirai, Silvan Mabashani Madirai. This is a quote from the Mishnah. Kezak, Amrloi, Kainim Ishti Nanasli. Make a netter that your wife won't have pleasure if this is not Truma. Beishamai Kainim Ishti Ubalan Nanamli. Beishamai Aymrim Ishti Mutaris Ubalan Basurim. Beishilvai Me'elu Ve'elu Mutar. That was the Mishnah. Amr Avuna, Tana, we learned in a Braisa. Beishamai Aymrim. Now this sounds, the Braisa sounds, different than the Mishnah. And that's what's going to bother the Gemara. Beishamai Aymrim, Lo Yiftuk Lai Beshvua. Don't offer to make a Shvua. Beishamai Aymrim, Af Yiftuk Lai Beshvua. That's what the Braisa says. Now our Mishnah said, Beishamai said, no Shvua, and Lo Yiftuk Lai Benedr. Do not offer to make the Nedr. The guy has to ask you to make the Nedr. And Beisil said you can make a Shvua, and you can also offer to make a Nedr. This Braisa says, Beishamai says, don't offer a Shvua, and Beisil says you can even offer a Shvua. The Diyak of the Braisa is, B'Shvua hu d'lo yiftaklai. You can't offer a Shvua, the Braisa says, a Benedr yiftaklai. But you could offer a Nedr. Aye, but not. Our Mishnah said, Beishamai lo yiftaklai Benedr. Aye, our Mishnah said you can offer a Nedr. The Braisa's inference seems to argue in our Mishnah. The Mishnah said, the Beishamai said, no offering a Nedr. And the Braisa says, go offering a Shvua, Mashma, that you could offer a Nedr. Second, Besu, from the Braisa's Mashma, Miftachud lo yiftach b'Shvua. You're not allowed to offer a Shvua. Ha meidur Nedr b'Shvua. But if the guy insists on a Shvua, you can make it. The Braisa didn't say you can't make a Shvua. The Braisa said you can't offer a Shvua. But now Beishamai Aymrim b'chol d'aydim chutzim b'Shvua. But our Mishnah said, Beishamai said you can't make a Shvua, period. Because we're strict and we don't want any shvuas made. So, falsely, even though it's guys meant to trick, whatever it is, right? So it's a contradiction, the Braisa and the Mishnah in two areas. Number one, the Braisa writes, don't offer a shvua, but you could make a shvua. Number two, the Braisa says, don't offer a shvua, but you could offer a netter. And our Mishnah says, no shvua at all and no offering a netter. That's the contradiction between the Braisa and the Mishnah. And for the Gemara. Tana Masnitsin Neder Ladiakhaikh de Beishamai. Tana Braisa Bishua Ladiakhaikh de Beisil. Meaning like this. The Mishnah is the way we go in Beishamai. No offering a Neder and no making a Shua. Beisil says you can offer a Neder and make a Shua. How about offering a Shua? The Mishnah doesn't address that according to Beisil. According to Beisil, the Mishnah had two according to the Mishnah, there were two arguments. Number one, can you make a Shua? Number two, can you offer a netter? Now, if I stopped after the Mishnah and I asked you, what would Beisil say about offering a shua? The Mishnah didn't address it. Comes along the Braisa and talks about offering a shua to teach me Beisil. Really, Beishamai not offering a shua is a superfluous statement. You can't even make a shua. And you can't even offer a netter. The Braisa picked the case of offering a shua to tell me Beisil. That they even allow you to offer a shua. The Mishnah picked neder to tell me that Beishamai holds you can't even offer a neder. So the Braisa and the Mishnah picked two different cases, not because they're disagreeing, but they're trying to bring across two different points. The Mishnah is trying to bring across a point that Beishamai doesn't let you offer anything, even a neder. And Beisil lets you offer a neder, but that's not necessary according to Beisil, because you can even offer a shua, but the Mishnah doesn't say that. Therefore, the Braisa comes in and fills in Beisil. So the reason the Braisa says, do not offer a Shvua in Beishamai, is not in Beishamai. Beishamai, that was an unnecessary statement. What it was trying to say is, Beisil holds you can offer a Shvua. So Yitzchak Margaretin would have written it together. Beishamai says, don't offer even a Neder, and Beisil says, you can even offer a Shvua. And that would have taken care of it. But that's not the way the Mishnah wrote. The Mishnah wanted to show you the power of Beishamai, so it only talked about Neder, and the Braisa only wanted to talk to you, show you the price of power of Beisil. That's why it only talks about Shvua. You're right. If I would have done it, I would have done it together without having to have two different discussions. But this is the way the Mishnah wrote, and this is the way the Braita wrote. Let me read it inside. Zog to Gemara. Tana Masnisim ben Neder, or the Acher Koyachin de Beishama. Tana Beisha Beshua, or the Acher Koyachin de Beisho. That means the Mishnah and the Braita wanted to do two different points. Therefore, they talked about two different things. No inference is allowed. Meaning, do not infer from the Braita that the Beishama allows a Neder. No. To offer a neder. Don't infer that. The Braita wasn't interested in Beit Shammai. He was interested in Beit Hillel, and Beit Shammai was just brought along. And the Mishnah was interested in Beit Shammai, therefore, it didn't stress Beit Hillel. That's what the Gemara said. Zokt the Rush. The Rush is, Tana Masnis in Neder, Lidaki Chaychen de Beit Shammai. Now, the Rush has a problem. We have a rule that you always show us the power of the one that's lenient. So why would the Mishnah pick the case of Neder to show me Beit Shammai who's strict, when it could have picked the case of Shua to show me Beit Hillel who's lenient? And the rule of thumb always is, the Mishnayos are interested in showing you the one that's lenient. Koyach dat teira adif. To be matur takes more. And let me explain. Bashi and Bey explains, when you don't know, you're machmer. Chumrah doesn't require knowledge. Chumrah requires that you're not sure that it's mutter, you say usher. Heter requires 100% knowledge. You're not matter if you're not sure. You usher if you're not sure. So if the Mishnah has a chance to show me somebody that's clear, or somebody that might not necessarily be clear, you always pick the one that's clear. And who's clear? They still. They're allowing even to offer a shua. Beit Shammai doesn't allow it. Could be they're mesupik, so they're machmer. Could be. So this is a rule of Mishnayos. Koicha de teira adif. So the Rush is bothered. How can we say that Mishnah is teaching me the power of Beit Shammai when the rule of Mishnayos is you always show the power of the one that's lenient? So the Rush, we have agav the koicha de teira adif. A brisa kasamach. It's relying on the brisa dashmina ba koicha de teira. The Mishnah relied on the Braisa. This is a Yesod in Shas that if I would have said it, you should have thrown me out of here. That the Mishnayos sometimes say, leave it to the Braisa to tell you the main point or another point. So right away on the side, the Rav Ranjborg, that's the name of the Achrim, says, from the Rush, you see that the Mishnayos will leave out something relying on explanation by Braisas. It's a new Yesod. Now, we have many times the Braisas explain the Mishnah, but not the Mishnah deliberately left something out for a Braisa. Rabbeinu HaKadosh wrote Mishnayos. His two Tamidim, Reb Chiya and Reb Eishiya, were Mesader the Braisas that we rely on. There are many more Braisas, but that's the main ones. So that Rebbe should leave out something and say, my Tamidim will take care of it, is a very big Kiddush. But that's what the Rush is here for, to tell me Chidusha, meaning that's what he does. He explains the Gemara. But this is a Chiddush that the Rav Ranjborg felt he had to point out that the Rush just told you a whole new look at Shas. The Mishnayos will leave out something and rely on a Braisa. The Gemara never says nothing. At least that I remember, and that the Rav Ranjborg remembers. He doesn't say, see Gemara here. He said this is the site of the Rush. That Dashmina Bakayak Datera. Yes. I'm sorry.
Parenthetically, this has a very important fact that when Rebbe redacted the Mishnayos, that he did it deliberately in this way. When Rome fell in the 6th century, Marcianus Capello took all of the knowledge that was taught at that time in school and put it in the Vitruvium and the Quadruvium, which, like any code, like, say, the Silk Road, it's a list of things which you do this, you know this, you know this, and kids memorized it. One was called the Trivium, the other was called the Quadruvium. And from Trivium, we have gotten the word trivial because people just learned to say it by rote without the reasoning. By leaving out various things and forcing people to do reasoning, having Mishnayos, which seemed to contradict within the course of that Mishnah, it forced people to think and
not what's happening here. I mean, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but that's not what's happening here. There's nothing wrong with the Mishnah. The Mishnah is fine. There's no contradiction. There's no contradiction at all.
I'm saying it's brilliant. I'm not criticizing the Mishnah. I'm saying it was a deliberate...
But that's not the case here.
What?
He didn't deliberately do anything in the Mishnah. You can read the Mishnah. There's no issue.
Left in such a way that it had to be explained because...
Only because of the bride stuff. Oh, I mean because of the principle of that terror. You're right. Okay. Don't think my light to Rav Ashi Amar.
So, who are you saying that?
I'm not saying anything. I said a rush.
You know, when Rebbe compiled the Mishnayos, he knew the other Brisos?
He knew the facts, and he counted on the fact that it would be written in the Brisos.
Yeah. But he knew there were Brisos out there?
Again, I'll be answering you very not clear. Let's put it this way. Rebbe knew all the opinions that the Brises bring. The Brises had not been formulated yet or redacted at that point. But Rebbe knew everything that would be going into a Brisa, but it wasn't there yet. Rebbe redacted Mishnayos, then his students redacted Brises. But Rebbe knew everything that would end up in a Brisa. Now, that he knew that it would end up in a Brisa is a chiddush to me. I would have said, Rebbe had no idea what his students were going to put into the Brises. He knew every opinion that would be in the Brisa, but did he know that his students would put in something that he left out so they could put in? It's the Mia Chiddush. But that's what the Rosh
is saying. What I'm trying to say is that...
I know exactly what you're saying. By the way, you're not trying to say. You are saying.
Rebbe had other opinions and didn't want to put in the Mishnah, not because of what didn't...
There's no other opinion here. It's the other half of Bishamay's statement. It's not a third opinion.
I'm talking about in general.
In general, Rebbe left out the opinions that he didn't feel were important enough that you had to know when he wrote Mishnayos. Correct.
That's what I wanted.
Yeah. But here it's not that.
I know, I understand.
Was Rice in existence at that time yet?
Not redacted again. Let me explain. Everything was in existence. Mishnayos was also in existence, but it wasn't redacted. That means you went to a mayor's yeshiva, and he taught you Mishnayos. All he taught you were the ones his opinion. He wasn't interested in teaching you all his colleagues' opinions, necessarily. Maybe he did mention it, maybe he did not mention it, but what he taught his students was his opinion. And he went through all Shas with his opinion. And Rabbi Yehuda, down the road, had his yeshiva where he taught his opinion. Maybe he brought in other people's opinion, maybe he didn't bother. I don't know, but he had taught his opinion. And Rabbi Yossi, further down the road, had his shot. Every Tana had his own Mishnayos. Now, what happened was, if you were learning at that time, and you had to figure out different opinions, you had to know a whole bunch of different Mishnayos. Came along Rebbe, took all those together, used Reb Meir's Mishnayos as his template, that's Tam Mishnah Reb Meir, and he wrote a Mishnayos that brings together, from his perspective, which is our perspective, which is Torah's perspective, the main opinions. That's our Mishnayos. Came along his Talmidim and elaborated on that and brought in more opinions and more explanations and more cases. The Rush now introduced a new concept, that Rebbe would leave something out of a Mishnah that he should have written because he figured it would be picked up in a Braita. That, to me, a new concept. Before I learned this Rush, I never knew that. And again, I feel in good company because the Rav Rensburg has to point out that the Rush just told you something. That's a new thing. It wasn't in existence in the present form, but the people who knew how to learn knew all these opinions.
There was a period of time that the prices were not written down yet.
We don't even know if Rebbe wrote the Mishnayos. There are many Rishonim that hold that Rebbe just redacted it Baal Peh, and that Rebbe and Rav Eshia redacted the prices Baal Peh. So we don't, there are Rishonim that say Rebbe wrote it, and Rebbe Kira Rabbi Shem wrote it. I don't know, that's a Machlokes Rishonim. Yes?
I may be thinking that way, but I thought that prior to Rebbe, everything was Rishonim. That Rebbe now took a number of ones, potential ones, made the Iker Purim knowledge, and redacted those, and that became elevated to the Mishnayos and the Spursi one. But prior to Rebbe, As you said, each yeshiva had its
own Mishnayos. I don't know why you have to call Brises. Oh, Mishnayos. Mishnas from Meir, Mishnas from Yehuda, Mishnas from Yaitzi, Mishnas from Akiva, Mishnas from Barb.
They're all authoritative statements, but after the redaction, after the redaction, then some became non-mandatory. You did not have to know them. Those are the Brises. And others remained mandatory, which is Mishnayos.
But again, I'm talking prior to Rebbe, it was all Mishnah, but I think we're off to something. Ravashi Amar Hachitani. Ravashi says the Pshat and the Braisa has nothing to do with the Mishnah. A new Pshat and the Braisa. Lo yiftach loy bishvua does not mean do not offer a shua. That was the way we translated it. Ravashi said that's not what it means. It means you cannot remove a shua. Nothing to do with our Mishnah. Nothing to do with robbers and murderers. Nothing. The Braisa is a new case. Can you remove a shua? A guy swears, are we matir a shua? We talked about it earlier. Do we make a heter and a shua? We don't allow a person to be matir a shua. A whole new machloikas. This has nothing to do with our Mishnah. It's not a contradiction. It's nothing. This Bryce is talking about something totally different. Ruvay made a shua not to eat apples. Can he be matir it? Bishamah says, no. We don't remove shuas. They're too strict. You make a shua, you're stuck with it. No removal. Because it's strict. And Beisol says, you can remove it. Nothing to do with our Mishnah, therefore, the question doesn't even start. Dr. Rush. Shein Shaila B'shua. Shem Chaymer D'shua. Amru Chachamim Shein Latira. This is a rabbinic thing. Because of the severity of shua, Rabbana said no removal. We had this earlier in the Gemara of Amoraim that refused to be matir shua made with the name of Hashem. Beis Shammai is saying they should refuse to be matir any shua. We're not matir shua; it's too strict. A rabbinic chumra, but it has nothing to do with our Mishnah. Therefore, the contradiction would never have started.
The Chacham had a Pesach.
He does,
yes. It could be that
Pesach is
valid.
No, Pesach is valid. We're teaching people a lesson. You don't make shuas. End. Zog the Mishnah Baiter. Harein the TSA Lukarbim Menein Mitzatzes. Okay, the Gemara is going to explain. There was a heavy wind, and the guy thought for sure that his tree is a goner. The wind is going to uproot his tree. It's a goner. So he says, I will donate it as a carbon, meaning as hegdish, literally hegdish. If the tree makes it, I'm going to donate it to hegdish.
The tree.
What's wrong with that?
They don't get uprooted?
Yes. But he's so worried that his tree is gone, he figures, if it makes it, I'm going to donate it to hegdish. He'd rather donate it to Hegdish than see it fly away. Or, Talazu Karban Menein Nisrefes. There's a fire, and it's headed for his clothing, and he can't stop it. He says, I will donate that cloak to Hegdish if it doesn't get burnt. So, Yeshlan Pidgin, what happens is, it becomes Hegdish if it didn't get burnt, if it didn't get uprooted, but he can redeem it. He can, like every other Hegdish that you donate to Bene Kabayas, you can redeem it. We'll see in a minute. You know, no, we're just halfway through a Mishnah. It's going to be a contrast to the next case, but we didn't do the next case yet because we try to explain the first case before we do the second case. Zach Dirash. Harin Atiyas Eilu Karben Menein Nitzatzis. Ra Ruach Sarah. He saw a stormy wind. Min Hashem is blowing. V'chol Olanas V'safik Shlayitvul Shemin Haaretz. And all the trees are in a position that they might be uprooted. The king raw delakish enough to be right. He saw a fire in the city, and in those days, fire spread like wildfire. The talis are ubisafik, and his talis is in doubt, sreifa. The ame elu ye carbon menein exitusis, the talis ki a carbon menein in the sreifa. The havikwe nidre shkogus, similar to shkogus, that died to the hacha kashindu, choisavish actually is the tulip. Right? Because he claimed, had I known it would be saved, I wouldn't have made it. I only did this because I was so sure it would be burnt, I might as well donate it to Hegdish. That's what he's claiming. So the guy is coming to claim to us, listen, I made this letter because I was so sure it was going to get uprooted that I might as well donate it to Agnes. Had I known it wouldn't get uprooted, I wouldn't have made that letter, even though that's not what he said. So, to finish in the Mishnah, Kamash Malon, Dvarim Shabalev Kani Loi Bochachi. This is not something that everybody assumes when he talked. This is something he meant, which he didn't express. We don't take that into account. Sorry, you said it should become Hegdish if it doesn't get uprooted. You meant because you were sure it wouldn't happen, so you didn't mean it? How are we supposed to know that? Heilu carbon, purishly mocher, lohavi b'dmeim carbon. It doesn't, a tree cannot become a carbon. What he means is to be sold and to use it for carbon. But Amr sh'asru alav k'carbon. It's not Pshat, he's making a neder here, keeping the Amr alive. So Pshat is, he donated it to Hegdish. He's claiming his donation was not meant. It was just like a wild thing. No havamina that it would ever happen. So we say, that's called Dvarim Shebalev. It's not like we heard the words and we understood you didn't mean what you were talking about. We thought you meant it. And therefore the words indicate you donated. We go by words, not by meaning.
If they do get destroyed, it's not that we have anything to do.
No. Absolutely not. No. Yeah. No, not that part. That part is what he said. Yes, doctor.
I think we have been talking about it since the beginning of the census that at that point in time, people didn't open their mouths and speak unless they had something to say. The question seems to be obvious that if he did not think it was a possibility, what is he making safeguarding guarding bounds?
I have no idea. I'll have to talk to this therapist. I don't know. I didn't see anybody talk about it. I didn't see. Honestly, I'll be very honest. It didn't bother me enough that I should look for it. Because to me, people did say things even though they didn't mean it.
Current experience.
Dr. Mishnah. Now here, it's a different story. Harei Nitiya Se'elu Karbim Achi Yiktitsu. This guy said, these trees should be a carbon till they get cut down. Or Talazu Karbim Achi Tisaref. I want this cloak to be a carbon until it burns. That's what he said. He expressed himself, I would like this tree to belong to Hegdish, to be used for a carbon until it gets cut down. And this talus to belong to Hegdish, until it burns. Ein lam pidgin. You cannot redeem it. Why? Zuck the rush. Ein lam pidgin. Lotzeis b'dmei pidgin l'chulim. He can redeem it, but it's not going to go to chulim. El amos netvosim b'kdusha. When he pays for the tree to redeem it, the money becomes hegdish. Vanatias chayzreis lias kedushas. The trees become hegdish again. He said it should, let me explain. He said it should remain Hegdish till it gets cut down. That means if he goes and says to Hegdish, I'd like to redeem this tree, and Hegdish says it costs $100, he gives $100 to Hegdish, and then immediately the trees become Hegdish again. Because you said you want it to be Hegdish till it gets cut down. That means after you pay for it, it becomes Hegdish again. And after you pay for it again, it becomes Hegdish again till it gets cut down. That's what you said. Listen to your words. I want this to be Hegdish till it gets cut down. So when you redeem it, it becomes Hegdish again. And when you redeem it a second time, it becomes Hegdish again. Because you said it should become Hegdish till it gets cut down. And the same Kachadisham, the human image into Shem Kachadisham, Shleyeh Zuluchul Machi Intasu. Now, how do I know you can do that? Because the Amr Perek Avapi, Sada Zucha Meshkanti Lach, the Shevdenim Memcha Tigdash to Kacha. If a guy said, I gave you this field as a mashkin, when I redeem it, it should become Hegdish. Right? The halacha is you can make it Hegdish. Even though you don't know when you're going to redeem it, you can make Hegdish something that you have, that you own, even though you don't know when the Hegdish will happen. You own this tree. You said it should be Hegdish all the way until it gets cut down. So when you redeem it, it goes back to Hegdish, because that was your original donation. That it should go back to Hegdish. Now again, the Gemara will discuss this, but that's what the Mishnah is saying. That when you donate something till some time, it remains Hegdish till that time. Now the chiddush of the Mishnah is that the money you use for redemption becomes Hegdish also. Because what happens is, when you redeem it, theoretically, it goes out to Chulin and then right back to Hekdesh.
Why?
Because every Hekdesh can be redeemed. But you redonated it. You redeemed it and it got redonated. Now somebody else redeems it, it's a different story. If somebody else redeems it, belongs to them. You can't make it Hekdesh again. You can't donate something that doesn't belong to you. But you put into place a new donation until it gets cut down. You redeem it, you bought it from Hekdesh. But you made it Hekdesh again because you said it should remain Hekdesh until it gets cut down. You can't stop the redemption process because Hekdesh can be redeemed. Somebody else came and paid for this tree. It would belong to him.
Let's just say you can't redeem it.
No, why can't you redeem it? Everything in Hekdesh is redeemable.
Again, it only helps redemption if you take it out of its original state. That it's
you did for a second, then it went right back because of your donation.
Who said that?
The netter did. It should remain Hekdesh till it gets cut down. You can't stop redemption. So what happens? You don't control redemption. It's not under your control.
Sure. That would work.
But that's not what he said. Who said? I don't know that. Maybe he meant that it should always return and become Hekdesh again. He said, Achiv Tzitzu. Why would he say it if he didn't mean it?
Wouldn't he be like that? If he couldn't release it, what did he accomplish? What is he accomplishing besides getting more money back?
Again, he's trying. He said, Achiv Tzitzu. He meant Achiv Tzitzu. Then he decided he'd buy it back. So he did. He bought it back. And it went Hekdesh again. Now, if you would have bought it back, you would have kept the tree. Because then it's not in his power to make it Hekdesh again. But if he bought it back, it kicks in again.
Is that a moment of Chulin?
A split second.
That's the point that we're stressing here.
I know exactly what you're stressing. The Gemara will address this issue. The Gemara talks about this. You can do this. Yes.
I'm sorry, I was waiting for an opening there. Could he get himself out of this cycle and recover value by himself chopping down his own tree?
Yes.
And just having the value of the wood?
Yes.
Even though that wasn't the inspiration for his original statement.
Well, depends whether yiktsu means cut off by itself or yiktsu means cut off. I don't know the translation of the words. If yiktsu means in Webster's cut off by itself, then he can't. But if yiktsu just means till it gets cut off, then it can.
Was it a storm?
That's what I'm saying. I don't know. Don't think about it. Ain't my opinion. Don't think about it. Now, the bothers the Gemara is, why did the Mishnah start that you couldn't redeem it? Right? Somebody says, this is Hekdesh if it doesn't get cut down. But the Mishnah, you could redeem it. Just tell me it becomes Hekdesh. I know the laws of Hekdesh. The laws of Hekdesh are, you redeem Hekdesh. By the way, you can't redeem every Hekdesh. You can't redeem Karbanos. But money donated towards a carbon can be redeemed. You donate a tree to buy a carbon. How does Hekdesh do it? They get it redeemed, and then they use it for a carbon. So why does the Mishnah have to bring in redemption at the beginning? Redemption is a consequence of being Hekdesh. Just say, it's Kaddish. Listen, it's Kaddushus. The Rosh is not clear as the word ain't Kaddushus. Just say, it becomes Kaddish. That's what it means. The redemption part is a consequence. Hurry, the list need Kaddushus. Dr. Rush, the listni kedushas, hagi garsinen, the loy garsinen kedushas, reiden kedushas. Do not be gairis the words ain't kedushas. And for the Gemara, and I'll explain to you in a minute why. And for the Gemara, I need the boy in the misni sefer ain't lamb pigeon. Since in the sefer, the stress is the no pigeon. Right? So the Mishnah is interested in getting to the end, where it's saying that the redemption doesn't work. The only reason the Mishnah meant redemption at the beginning, because it was contrasting it to the end. It means to say it's Hekdesh. The consequences of Hegdish? Go word Hegdish. But since in the end, it's introducing a new concept that pidgin doesn't work, so therefore, at the beginning, it used the word pidgin. It's style. It was only there for style. No chiddush in that. Zok to Rashbam. Rash, I call him the Rashbam because I'm learning Baba Basra at night. I did the boy Lemisni Sefer, Ein Lem Pidgin. Though he must see Lemisni Binyan Achar, there he couldn't have said it in a different way. Tanarashinami Yeshlam Pidgin. I don't know if you have Inyan Achar or Ayin Aleph. I have Ayin Aleph, but it means Inyan Achar. Frek the Gemara Echi Nadar. What did he say? Amra Meimer Ba'imer Meinen Niktsatsas Hayyim. He said, if meaning the Mishnah says Yeshlam Pidgin, right? So it doesn't make any sense because ultimately trees get cut down. That's what happens to trees. They die and you cut them down. So if he's saying to be hegdish, if it doesn't get cut down, it always gets cut down. So what does it mean it becomes hegdish? When does it become hegdish? When do you say it's not going to get cut down? Every tree is headed to be cut down. What else are you going to do with a tree when it dies? You're going to cut it down. So it should become hegdish if it doesn't get cut down. At what point do you decide that this tree is not getting cut down? This is the ratio. We're going on the ratio. At what point do you decide this tree is not getting cut down, so it becomes hegdish? It's not going to get down today. It's going to get down in a year, in 2 years, in 5 years, in 8 years. It always gets cut down. So, how did I know that? From the Gemara. Because I knew it from the Gemara, from the Rush who brought the Gemara. But the Mishnah never said that. Dr. Gemara, he knows that. He said, if it's not going to cut down today, what's the chiddush? Why would I think it's not a neder? Dr. Gemara, there's a strong wind. And therefore, since there's a strong wind, he's convinced that the tree's gone. So he makes this neder that if it doesn't get gone, I'll donate it to Hegdish, never thinking that that's going to happen. And it did happen. It didn't get cut down. And now he's claiming I never meant it. But the finish of the Mishnah is, sorry, sir, you said words, and we had no indication that you didn't mean what you were talking about. So you didn't mean what you're talking about. Fracting him, yeah.
He said it should stay, it should be Kadosh until it gets cut down.
That's the second case. I'm in the first case. To be Kadosh if it doesn't get cut down.
It should be Kadosh.
If it doesn't get cut down.
It should be Kadosh if it doesn't get cut down. That's the first case.
That's right. You didn't say that, but that's besides the point.
I thought I said that. Okay, so right now it's Kadosh.
Why? If it doesn't get cut down, every tree gets cut down.
Again.
Why now? Why does he say it means now? He didn't say a word about now. Who said now?
That's what he said.
No, he didn't. He said it should be Kaddish if it does before the answer. If he's bothered by the Kasha. If he said it should be Kaddish if this tree doesn't get cut down. At what point is it not cut down? He didn't say till it gets cut down. He said it should be Kaddish if it doesn't get cut down. Every tree gets cut down. Answer it. He said it's because it doesn't get cut down today. So what's the chiddush? It didn't get cut down today, so it's chiddush. The chiddush is there's a wind, and then he's claiming I said it because I didn't mean it because I was 100% confident that this tree's going.
Okay, sorry.
We didn't understand that. We heard words that didn't mean that to us.
That's a Pesach.
So whether he can go to Bez and be Matarit, that's his own Shiloh, but he donated it to Hegdish. Hegdish has to be redeemed.
He could go to...
Not so simple how to be Matar Nigde Hegdish. Can you go and remove a donation to Hegdish without paying up Hegdish? That's a different story.
Well,
that's not our subject.
That's why it's different than before. Only because of Hegdish?
No.
That's what he's saying.
No, he's not. He's claiming why can't he go to Bezin? Before, he didn't even have to go to Bezin. It was a mistake to begin with. He didn't have to go to bed and explain himself. Everybody understood that that's what he meant. When there's a robber here and you promise the robber something, everybody understood you didn't mean what you said. That's not Dvarim Shebileiv. Here, it is Dvarim Shebileiv. That's what the Mishnah is saying. Now, whether you can go to Bezen, that's a different story. How you matter Nigde Hekdesh.
But
he's not being matter in front of Bezen. He's saying, I don't need a heter.
He meant this as much as the robber case.
Who says?
I did.
The Gemara says people don't understand it that way. There are people that mean it literally. Nobody means it literally in the robber's case. Again, Dvarim Shebileiv Einam Dvarim, unless Belibaya B'chalad Leiv Kaladam. Unless every single person hearing this knows exactly what he means, except a stupid robber.
By the way, that's question 9. It was in a rush on the Mishnah.
What? I figure I got it from somewhere. Okay, mm-hmm. I know I didn't make it up, but you said it wasn't a rush. So what's I supposed to argue with you?
It was a rush.
Okay.
Had a reason why you said it, and more people can't. What I both cases are similar in my opinion.
I don't think so. Sometimes everybody understands what you mean, and sometimes not everybody understands what you mean. You hear a guy saying this, you know he didn't mean it? I wouldn't have said that. I think he means what he says.
I have a problem with the seifa.
I'm not up to the seifa. I'm up to the ratio. Frakti Gemara. Baktani lo gabi talus. The talus was seifa kaima. That makes sense by a tree. A wind blowing. But what are you talking about a cloak? Cloak gets burnt. And for the Gemara in, you know, the Ikadoika, there's a fire going on. How can that be? You can see the fish, and there's a strong wind. He's sure that it won't get saved. Shemalik another. He didn't mean it. He just said it because he was sure it was not going to mean anything. Kamash Malan, that is Dvarim Shebileiv.
Why does a person do something like Dana Mitzvah? Well, something's going to get destroyed. What is he doing this for? He's not Baha'i, he's being Baha'i himself, anything, but then he's not being Baha'i himself.
Yeah, he's claiming that he Stam spoke, but he thought it was meaningless. Now, Dr. Schwab's question is that in those days, people didn't speak with meaningless words. That was Avram Cohn's question, too, by the way. Avram Cohn also said people didn't mean, say things that they didn't mean. So he must have meant it.
I said that?
Similar, you said.
Even on the side that you say that. For sure that's going to get destroyed. So don't say anything. I mean, what is he accomplishing? Why is he doing that? Smacha, maybe he'll get saved?
I'm trying to think of an analogy. Give me 30 seconds.
I have a very question.
A guy says, if you make the half-court shot, I'll give $1,000 to Zucker. Does he have any habamina that the guy's going to make a third half court shot? Why is he saying it?
What's a half court?
But that's the shayla of Liba B'chalotah. It could be everybody in the room knows that he doesn't mean it. He's definitely going to give $1,000. The question is, it's Hegdish like $1,000 for a half court shot. Again, sometimes you say something because you're sure it's never going to happen. That's exactly what the Gemara is saying, not me. Again, there are people that do this, by the way.
Yeah, of course, lottery is all
this. There are people that say, I'll give you $1,000 if you make that shot. They had no habamina. They don't mean a word they said.
And the other side is considered a good bet. In other words, he's hired to pay the other guy.
I don't know what would happen to $1,000. I think everybody standing there knows he didn't mean a word he said, including the guy that takes the shot.
I always thought he meant what he said.
You think so? I don't think so.
Otherwise, he wouldn't have said something.
Yeah, that's what you think? I disagree with you 100%. I know people that say this, and they don't mean a word they said.
He said a dollar.
That's why I said 1,000.
I
I know you said $1,000.
Because you don't mean $1,000, you do mean $1. You're only taking a chance with $1. You'd probably give the guy $1 even if he doesn't make this up.
Rabbi, can I give another explanation?
Yes.
I had also had trouble with why would they say such a thing, but I was also wondering whether the idea that something that's precious to you would be lost that way would so upset you that you would do anything not to have it go that way. You don't want your talus burned. You don't. It's a talus that you really like. You'd rather donate it and that it would still be in existence, even if it had another use and was no longer yours. So that could be in my that was one explanation. Or Lahavdil about the woman who prays for a child and she says, if I get this child, I will donate him to serve. I will never see him.
That's
so I'm just talking about why something like this would escape someone's lips. That's why.
The answer is because he's claiming now that he never meant it. According to you, what's his claim? He's claiming,
he never
meant. Our answer to him is, that's not what we understood. We understood it Harvey's way, that you did mean it. And he's claiming I didn't mean it. Everybody in this room was asking me, how is he explaining that he didn't mean it? How is he trying to make sense that he didn't mean it? So why did you say it?
I understand. But does the Mishnah and the Gemara does the Mishnah really say this that he's now that he insists on going back on his word? Is that does that have to be the case, or is that what the Gemara is assuming?
No, because if not, what's the chiddush of the Mishnah? Everybody makes an error. It counts. What is the Mishnah trying to teach me? There would be no chiddush. So therefore, the Gemara is explaining. He's claiming I never meant it. Now, the answer to him is you might have meant it, like Harvey explained. Because I'd rather give it to Hegdish than see it fly away. But he's claiming I never meant it. So what'd you say it for? So no. I was trying to explain that side. People say stupid things. If the guy that gives $1,000 for the half-court shot. I know people that give $10 for a half-court shot. They're willing to take that chance and they mean it. But I don't know anybody gives up that. I mean, that literally means he'd give $1,000 for a half-court shot.
The possibility of it happens at $1 or $1,000.
One is serious and one is not serious.
But he gives his house to Hegdish.
He said it. Nobody, yes, he meant
he more than $1,000.
But he was willing to donate it to Hegdish. People give their houses as presents. People sell it. A guy can say to his son, I'm giving you my house as a present. And they make a kenyan. He's giving a lot more than
$1,000. $1,000 is more far-fetched than...
He doesn't want to give a strange kid who can make a half-court shot $1,000? Is he nuts?
Yeah, to me, I'm certain to speak.
Again, I don't know. To me, I would never mean it.
It would be a way, it's a fun way of giving the yeshiva money, yes. It's a fun way of doing it. Instead of the guy calling you up and saying, "Well, you donate $1,000," you know what? I'm gonna do a game with it. That's all.
Again, what can I tell you? The guy's claiming he never meant it.
Anyway.
I'm trying to think what we're doing here. The guy's claiming I never meant it. So your question, everybody in this room's question, starting with Dr. Schwab way back to the Mishnah, was why is he saying it if he doesn't mean it? Dr. Rush, he didn't say when it would happen. They'll never become hegdish. Every tree gets cut down. By a tree, you can say sometimes it gets windy. I would think it's a mistake.
Or the guy with the tree, who said he's going to outlive the tree? He meant that.
Doesn't make a difference. Again, it doesn't make a difference. He can donate it if it doesn't get cut down. It always, he didn't say how long.
But how's he going to donate if he's not around anymore?
Why can't he donate it if it doesn't get cut down? He's donating it. You're right. If he dies, it'll be Bato. I'm not going to get him off that now. If he dies, it'll be Bato. He's planting that listed tree. Sure. People think they live forever.
I know.
No, they don't. Huh. People think they live forever. And I hate to be so sharp, but there's a basic chorus full of people that thought they lived forever.
Oh. Trump's running in 4 years, you know that.
You three toys, same thing as we should go.
Same idea. Everybody should have a wonderful day. I don't know how many people are leaving today. You're leaving today already. Have a safe trip and have a good weekend.